Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
How can we finally conquer procrastination? Are you one of the people who keeps putting off major life decisions or even small life decisions? Well, Joe Humphreys is with us to cast his philosophical eye over procrastination. Procrastination. Is it just not part of the human condition? Joe.
It is. I mean, we all procrastinate. And I guess it's different levels of procrastination. You put off little decisions and then you put off big ones. I guess the problematic forms of procrastination is you're longing to do something. You've always wanted to quit the day job, Ray, and join the circus, but you just haven't found the courage to do it and follow your dream. And what's stopping you from doing that? Well, that sort of procrastination is a more serious one. But you're right. It is kind of part of the human nature. And I think there's some unhealthy kind of forms of kind of dwelling on procrastination, like it's a big problem. It's just something to cope with. You live with procrastination. We live with indecision. We live with unsatisfied desires. And, you know, there is maybe... before we kind of talk about how to cure procrastination, maybe there's sometimes an over-focus on this being a problem, that, you know, something wrong with you if you procrastinate. It's nothing wrong with you. It's very human. And there's actually an interesting psychotherapist, Adam Phillips, who writes about this. And he says, you know, we spend a lot of our lives kind of thinking the myth of potential, that we had this potential to be something different. We're not living our real lives. Somehow our real life is elsewhere. And it's just out of touch. And if we just changed a few things, we'd get there. But actually, you are living your life. That's it. This is your life, and we spend a lot of time thinking about this other life, the unlived life that is just non-existent. So let's dwell in the real life.
Why do we focus in on this unlived life or this dream job or running away with the circus or what we could have been, what should have been, blah, blah, blah? Why do we do that?
Yeah, well, Phillips, one of his theories is that it's because when we're kids, we're told we're special and brilliant, and then we've grown up, we realise we're not. And we realise what happened to our special, brilliant selves. We're not geniuses. We're not like exceptional in the sense of other eyes. We're not like held up a podium, but we're brilliant in other ways, like we're in our own terms. You know, it's that sense that I guess.
So, are our parents doing us a disservice when they tell us we're special?
There is a school of thought that there's over affirmation of kids and that we're better off building resilience and building kind of self discipline. And that there's been a shift actually in parenting around that, not getting into parenting advice necessarily, but there has been a shift away from the affirmation school to more building resilience, building self discipline, and, you know, dealing with setbacks, etc., and, you know, being more realistic. About your expectations growing up.
Because that thing that slagged off a lot is everybody's a winner, everybody gets a medal at the school sports day.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. I mean, it wouldn't be too hard on that in one sense. That's a bit of inclusivity to that. I think one of the other big factors as well, apart from the kind of bigging up maybe yourself as a kid, is societal kind of expectation to be satisfied. You know, we kind of this American, maybe we'd say, culture of, you know, you must be satisfied. Your life has to be perfect, has to be satisfied. You know, we have those sort of messages bombarded to us at social media and culturally, that you must need the perfect job. You need a job that's, you know, you're really passionate about, etc. And if you somehow fall short of the ideal, you're a failure. So I think that's an unhealthy thing as well, which kind of feeds into this thing that.
And we have these influencers now with their perfectly curated lives. Not all influencers, but I watch the thing. I don't inhabit that space, but somebody says you have to watch this. Some guy gets up at 4:30 in the morning and then goes to the gym and he has his green juice and his orange juice and then he does meditation, then he journals and then, and I've looking at it, you feel like a lesser human being.
I mean, ultimately, what's the point? I mean, that is one thing. I mean, this is, we like having a philosophical discussion. There's philosophy and psychology here. And I guess the philosophers would say, you know, what's the ultimate purpose of what you're doing as well? And I guess...
That's the meaning of life stuff, Joe.
That is, but it's something we tend to kind of push to one side. And we, you know, we kind of think we're living, I guess, part of what... Adam Phillips and others getting at, we kind of live to an expectation others have us. You know, we kind of say we're somehow failing on other people's terms. But if we think about it ourselves, what's meaningful, what's purposeful for ourselves, it could be joining the circus. No one else might think that's important, but it's about taking ownership, you know, and kind of thinking through meaning on your own terms. So I think that's one step in dealing with this problem.
Yeah, I don't know if you found it, you're a bit younger than me, but a lot of these things come to you with age.
A bit of perspective. Yeah, I'm not that much younger, but I know what you mean.
More comfortable in your skin, all of those things, you know.
Yeah.
Not desperately, you know, searching for something.
Yeah.
That you realise that this is it and this is the life I have to live, not some aspirational thing in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there's definitely, you get perspective. I mean, there is that old thing about the you know, you get wiser theoretically the older you get, but yeah. I do think there's a, yeah.
So back to procrastination. Sorry, yeah, we went off on a tangent. There. So we know what it is. It's indecision, and it's putting off the small things or the big things in life. So what? How do you cure it, or do you have to cure it, I suppose?
Yeah, well, I think we sort of kind of addressed the point about curing it. I don't think curing it is the way, but you could, you know, there are ways to tackle it, and maybe unhealthy procrastination. That should be tackled. Like if you are putting off an important thing, something really valuable.
Yes.
Everything, little things are getting in the way in modern life. You're doing the little to-do list things and you're trying to answer emails. You never get to the important thing, calling your parent or, you know, dealing with a personal relationship issue, haven't been present for family members. It's the important things. So that the procrastination of things like that, there's two kind of general answers to it, if you like. People have written loads of books about this, but one is to lower the stakes of change and the other is to raise the stakes of the status quo. So lowering the stakes of change. So it really, it's one of the things that stops us from changing. We think, oh, there's going to be a big cost here, maybe a financial impact, or, you know, someone's
going to... Say like leaving your job to pursue a hobby.
So suppose there's a practical thing there. You might say, okay, well, let's say I tried for 6 months. Is there a way I can live on less money? Can I survive on less? So that's kind of a practical thing. I think one of the big things that stops us from changing is people's opinion. You know, we're afraid of what other people will think if we quit our job and do something ludicrous or join a monastery or whatever. So, and it's public opinion that is really huge pressure. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the French philosopher, says we live in the shadow of other people's opinions, and there's a constant. So you're thinking, well, will I be letting down my mother, my parents, will I be letting down, you know, what my work peers think about this? Another good thinker, a modern kind of writer on this, American academic Brené Brown writes on this, and she writes a lot about resilience and guilt that people carry in life. And she says we must have the courage to love ourselves even when we risk disappointing others. And it's that idea of disappointing other people, you have to do it. I mean, we should, you know, so if there's one kind of message from lowering the stakes, you know, be a disappointment, disappoint your parents, disappoint your colleagues, you know, you can't satisfy everyone, and don't be trying to, you know,
so
live
lowering the stakes. How do you higher the stakes?
So the flip side of that is kind of saying, well, there's a philosopher, Simon May, who's written a book called Jump about conquering procrastination. And he says, you know, channel the power of regret. So it's kind of the idea that if you don't do something, imagine going through life and say did the thing
Is that line that on your deathbed? You'll regret the things you didn't do as opposed to the things you did.
Exactly. So there's a kind of a healthy way here of concentrating on death. And so one way that writers, philosophers use as a prompt is this idea of a memento mori. So, and I try this myself. I have a little plaster cast skull at home.
So memento mori means...
This is a... Yeah.
What does it mean? It's Latin.
It's a Latin for a memorial of death or a memento of death. So you have
a reminder
of death.
That you'll die.
Yeah, exactly. Right. A kind of constant reminder. And some people might have it in the form of a tattoo or something rather than, you know, with carpe diem or you know, you've just won life kind of mottos that you'd kind of encounter.
Yeah, like I know that Patrick Collison, you know, in the Collison brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
He has a countdown clock. Yes. In his office.
Yeah.
So you can go onto a website and calculate when you're going to die.
Yeah.
You put in all your stats. And he did that. And now he has a countdown clock. Well, he did in 2017 anyway. I don't know if he still has it.
Yeah. And that's raising the stakes of staying with things.
What effect does that have?
I suppose it concentrates the mind. I mean, I suppose it gives you a kick. I mean, like, in a way, either of these approaches, if you like, it's like giving a jump start to you. It's trying to kickstart your motivation that you're saying, you know, you've only one life. This is it. Your countdown clock is going down. I know you're a fan of Oliver Berkman. He wrote the book, you know, 4,000 Weeks, which is
the average
life for 8 years. Exactly. So, you know, if you think about it, if you break down the amount of time you have left, it actually does focus the mind. You say, well, look, why am I sweating the small stuff? Why am I wasting my time?
So you went up to the attic and got a Halloween skull.
I did, yes.
And you put it on your desk.
I did.
By way of an experiment.
by way of experiment, I had it there looking at me for a month, right. staring at me. So it was besides sort of the computer I had to work on a lot of the time. Yeah. And so he'd sort of be staring at me in judgment and saying, yeah, what are you doing with yourself? Really, do you need to be? But some of the time he was saying, do you not get out and get a bit of fresh air, go for a jog, like, right? And, you know, rather than spend all your time on the screen. But yeah, it's kind of that idea, give you a prompt. I mean, I can't say it transformed my life. I didn't join the circus or do any radical life changes. But it does, I think, I think it was a useful exercise even just for myself. I found kind of as a prompt to kind of say, you know, almost
time is limited, is it?
Yeah,
is it?
Time is limited. And I think, you know, exactly, you know, don't put it off till later. You know, yes. I mean, that's kind of one of the key things. You know, one always thinks there's more time in the future. And
it's odd because I think about death every day. I don't know if you do. Mm. But when you say that to other people, they think you're a freak. Mm. And I'm wondering, you know, we all have different attitudes to death. It scares the living daylights, excuse the pun, out of some people, and other people embrace it.
Yeah.
So it might be a personality type thing, I wonder.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's there. There might be a bit of a... We still don't have the language to talk about it, and maybe we're not sure, like, whether freak people out talking about death. But... Yeah. You know, we're kind of, it's a modern enough phenomenon to push death out of our conversation. I mean, if you go back to previous civilizations, or if you go back to the ancient Greeks and so on, they talked about death the whole time. And they talked about
I see. So then in the intervening years, we've pushed it out.
I think we have, and maybe it's something to do with kind of, you know, the celebration of youth culture and the pushing of older people as well, even out to the fringes of society, you know, if you like, of involvement in life. So, I mean, we do kind of celebrate youth in a way that thinking about old age, dying, death, what, you know, what are we
depressing.
Something bigger?
It's depressing.
It is depressing.
It's not, I'm
well,
just saying people
it can and
say
can't.
That.
That's the point. I think the point is to find a balance between despair and kind of, you know, being frozen by sort of the impending death. You know, you can find positive ways to think about it, but I think just suppressing any thought about it at all is not very valuable and potentially part of the problems why we're kind of stuck in this.
We procrastinate.
Yeah, well, we procrastinate and we feel kind of tortured by it, you know, if we stood back.
If you don't address it.
I think
yes.
so.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that thing I probably told you this before, but we have this framed quotation in our downstairs bathroom. Look at us, a downstairs bathroom. Far from that, I was right. No matter what you do this year or in the next 100, you will be dead forever. Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's one, and actually,
that's a bit like your skull, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's that's almost like it's a lowering the stakes of death. I mean, in one sense, and Marcus Aurelius has something similar. He said, you know, how many of us who once rose to fame are now consigned to oblivion, and so we kind of, it in one sense, it sort of says, well, everything we do is kind of pointless because ultimately, in whatever 33 billion years, the universe will expand and will be spaghettified.
Isn't there somebody else who says that? Look around you and anybody you see, they won't be here in 100 years' time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think with that, and I think the most powerful thing about this discussion about procrastination, kind of reading about it, is not to be worried about other people's opinions. Like, I think that's ultimately the key thing. You know, we do fret about the kind of immediate...
You see,
pressure of today, of being how we're judged now by other people and other people's opinions of
it. It's an odd one because I want to act like that, you know, dance like nobody's watching, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I was a very self-conscious young man, and it's only in the last few years I've shed that.
Mm.
The only thing I'd say is that we are shaped by other people's opinions as we grow up.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, you can't get your own identity in your head. You have to feed off feedback from other people.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, it's good to have some of that awareness of what other people think. But you're your own person, you're your own life, your one life. I mean, I think to break that a little bit, to push against that, I know you're a fan of Berkman mentioned, like one line he has is about, you know, a lot of us, we have to think of an idea of thinking our way into action. But actually, he says, act your way into thinking. So if you do a little embarrassing thing, just go out of your way to do a dad dance maybe today or something, you know, like do something a bit like cringy.
Wear yellow.
On purpose.
Wear yellow.
On purpose to get other people, you know, to draw embarrassment and disgrace almost and, you know, disappointment.
Yeah.
You know, practice disappointing people. That actually will encourage you to kind of be a little less
Now, in little ways, lads, don't, not in a big way, not in a big way. Our history teacher who was writer come to being sister told us that procrastination was the thief of time, says Anne. And I have a motto to counteract procrastination, JFDI. Just F and do it. As self-talk, it works for me every time. That's Teresa. And I put off many things only until the pressure is on. I operate well under pressure, says that person. And the other thing, seeing as you've mentioned him so often, Oliver Berkman in Meditations for Mortals, he was saying, rather than seeing it as a big leap, say, for example, you arrive at the decision that you have to leave your job.
Mm.
So you go from there in your job to not having the job that you have. And why don't you think about maybe small steps? The first thing is have a chat with your mate about your thoughts on leaving your job, and then investigate what you might do next, do a bit of research. And so it's all small steps.
Yeah.
So by the time you get to walking into your boss's office to tell them that you're leaving, that's just another small step in the...
That's it. And it's actually
journey.
More realistic as well. Going back to Adam Phillips, he's sort of saying, you know, you have this idea, I'm going to go off and join a band.
Yes.
But actually, it's not, you're not even anywhere near that. You know what I mean? It's probably not you anyway. I mean, you're not good enough, whatever. So, but if you take the small step,
yes,
play a little bit of band practice, try that on a Saturday, you know, maybe build it up, then you're kind of being more realistic, and you won't be setting yourself up for a lifetime of disappointment. And
right. We've solved everything and nothing there. Joe Humphries, thank you very much on procrastination. Now, quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.